All right, Psalm 100. This one is deeper than you might think. Sometimes some of these psalms, we look at them, oh, it's just exuberant, it's just... But this is going to get us to the crux of the issue of our life in Messiah. This is the only one, by the way, with an introduction like this, a psalm of thanksgiving. There are lots of other psalms that talk about thanksgiving, but this one says it is a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There we have the first three verses. Go ahead and go to the next slide. What we're going to talk about in these... Do we have somebody back there? Next slide, please. Thanks. What we're going to talk about first first few verses is the imperatives, the commands. What does the Lord command? Shout joyfully, how do you, to Adonai all the earth. Okay, so if you remember our introduction, a psalm of thanksgiving, shout joyfully, thanksgiving is to be noisy, hariu. The word used of a shout of victory in battle. It's used in many different contexts, but that's one of them. The shout of victory in battle. We should be so thankful that we shout. Right? There we go. So the psalm, and this is something that I talked about for a few weeks here and there. The idea of thanksgiving and praise and worship in the Psalms is not just to open a hymn book and sing and say, okay, I stayed on pitch, job well done. Okay? And like I said, if that's your tradition, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying for me and for this congregation, we want to interact with these things in the Psalms that it tells us to do. Okay? The Psalms instruct us to sing. Psalm 9:12. There's many places where it instructs us to sing. I just put one example up there for each, so you know I'm not lying. To dance, that's one thing that we have not been good at, not been great at. We need a dance leader. Maybe that's something we need to pray for. There should be such joy about dancing. Now, sometimes I've heard some of the more traditional of the Messianic rabbis say, well, that's not really very Jewish. Well, that's not my main concern, right? I'm not here to put on a show of Jewishness. I'm here to have a genuine interaction with God, yes, honoring God's relationship with Israel, from within Israel and within that covenant, with an understanding of that. But I'm not going to curtail my response to God's graciousness, God's love, God's awe in my life by being able to say, well, that's not Jewish, I'm not going to do it. It used to be Jewish. It's in the Psalms. The Psalms are Jewish, right? So dance from Psalm 149, verse 3. Lift up our hands. There's a few places in the Psalms that talks about that. 63, verse 5. Bowing down, Psalm 5:8, and many other places, and shouting, like we have here in Psalm 100 and in Psalm 5 and in others, an exuberant worship. And the first of these imperatives, the first of these commands, is to shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joy, as if you were at the Seminoles football game and they just scored the winning touchdown. Right? Only it's deeper and it's more meaningful and more lasting, and it's not just entertainment, it's reality. Mm-hmm. So shout to the Lord. Next slide. Wait on the Lord is actually not in the psalm. There we go. All right. And thank you. Appreciate it, Will. All right. Serve Adonai with gladness. Ivdu. Okay? From the word that we also get, servant or slave, eved, okay? Or the word avodah, which means many different things. Sometimes it means worship. Sometimes it means service. Adam and Eve were to avodah. They were to work in the garden. The Levites, we see this word a few times in Numbers chapter 4. They are to serve the Lord in the sanctuary. When you come here, this is not a spectator sport, right? People come to congregations and they leave and they say, oh, I'm not getting fed, as if the main goal of going to a congregation is take care of me, right? You go into a congregation and you shout before the Lord and you serve, and you will be surprised what you get out of that experience. I'm serious. The people in the same congregation, hearing the same sermons, experiencing the same music, the same liturgical worship, some will get so much out of it and others will say, I'm not getting fed. And the difference is, like I said in a previous sermon, is the attitude you walk in with. Are you so grateful for what God has done that you're hanging on every word of the songs, you're hanging on every word of the scripture being read, every word of the teaching, and you're so grateful to be around the people around you, so that when we have our meal afterwards, you can't wait to help push a broom across the floor or pray with somebody who needs prayer, give a word of encouragement. You are to serve. You are not to come here and just sit in the seats and decide, well, I'm being fed or I'm not being fed. Josh did a good job or Josh didn't do a good job. It's not about me, right? God is here. We are giving thanks before him. You are gathering in a congregation that's giving thanks before him. We're to be shouting and we are to be serving. How can I serve you? You need a ride? I'd love to give you a ride. You know what? We haven't had a whole lot for the potluck meals lately. I think I'm going to cook a little extra this week. You know what? God has blessed me financially. Let me put a little extra in the tzedakah box. These are things that we do out of remembering the introduction to the psalm, out of being thankful. We don't serve the way we served in Egypt, where we had a whip crack on our backs if we didn't do it right. That's not the kind of service God wants. It's the service of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters around me. Thank you, Lord God, that we love each other and you love me. And thank you, Lord, your presence is in my life. Thank you. I can't wait to go push a broom across a floor. I can't wait to put money in the tzedakah box. I can't wait to pray for people. I can't wait to serve. Next slide, please. The third imperative is come, bo'u. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Can also mean enter in. Can also mean go. In this case, I think it means enter in, right? Don't stand at the door, spiritually speaking. Don't sit there and watch other people having an experience with God and you're not entering in fully. You don't enter in fully and then you leave a congregation because you, not meaning you personally, I'm just saying in general, people do this, right? I'm not being fed. Well, have you entered in? If it's a congregation that loves the Lord, there's something to be had there for you. Enter in. Stop critiquing. Enter in. Stop wishing and stop getting distracted. Enter in. Don't get distracted. Oh, I've got so much going on. I can't wait to get home because I need to make sure that I turned off the oven and I need to... All right, well, that maybe you do need to worry about. But generally, get rid of those distractions. You are here to enter in. Bo'u. It's not in a form that it's a suggestion or a description. It is in the command form, the imperative form, enter in. Enter in. Next slide, please. The fourth imperative is no, de'u, right? And that means to not know in the Greek sense of the word, where I know about God because I can explain him, right? Or I think I can explain him. God is this, he's up here, he's there, he's not that. That's not what it's talking about. Experiential knowing of God. Know God deeply, know God fully, know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. If you know this, it is a life changer. If you know this on a deep level, this is a life changer. The difference between knowing God exists and not knowing God exists is not that much of a life changer. I think God exists. I'm looking at the world around me. It looks like things have been created. I can't deny it. I think God probably exists. In fact, maybe I'll go a step further. Because I don't want to go to hell, I'll say that I believe in God. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about, do you know him as your creator? Do you know that you belong to him? We are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. You might think you're in the world, and in some sense you are in the world, but really you are in his pasture. And isn't that a whole different mindset? It's the Matthew 6 thing all over again, right? What goes on in Matthew 6? Yeshua says, stop running around like the pagans running around. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? Who's going to take care of me? Who am I going to marry? Who's this, this, this? He says, that's the pagan way of thinking. And instead, know that the Lord feeds you. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. God will take care of you because you're so much more precious than that. This verse here on the board in Matthew 6, it's about God's love for you. He is your shepherd. He's your creator. He is your shepherd. You can rest in him. That is a life changer. That is such a life changer. God, I'm not my own. And I'm not that big. I'm not important, but you still love me. I remember once going for one of my prayer walks that I often mention, feeling just terrible about a sin I had committed, just stricken with grief. And I go out on the walk and I look up and I see all the stars in the sky. And to be honest, there was comfort in knowing I was small. There was comfort in knowing that God's kingdom is not going to be stopped because of my sin. You know what I'm saying? We're not big enough for that. Our smallness doesn't decrease his love for us. In fact, it increases us, increases it, right? That it's, he would extend his love even to us. So let's stop seeing ourselves as our own. Let's stop seeing ourselves as so big that God's plan depends on whether we make a mistake or not. Let's relax. Let's be sheep in his pasture, and let's live that kind of trusting life, even in our spirituality. Sometimes people take a hold of a vision. Maybe it's from God, maybe it's not from God, but they take a hold of it, and it's got to get done. I've got to go out, and I've got to witness. I've got to go out, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And these people don't believe, but if I just say the right words, they'll believe. And we put all this stuff on ourselves, and then instead of people seeing a sheep in God's pasture, they see somebody who doesn't trust God, who has to take it all on themselves to go out and do it themselves. But this is a different mindset. Lord, I want the peace of knowing I am a sheep in your pasture. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. And that's been even made more explicit now by the death of the Messiah. We're not just his because he created us. We're not just his because he brought us out of Egypt. We're his because his blood paid for us. Right? 1 Corinthians talks about that. I think it's chapter 9, verse 6.
We are his, right? Pretty sure chapter 6. Anybody know? I think it's chapter 6. We were bought with a price. We are his. All right, so know that deeply and fully. Next slide. Fifth and sixth imperatives. There's actually three imperatives up here, but one of them we've already covered. Okay, that enter there is the entering in, the going in, the coming in. Don't stay at the gates, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise. Now, this is from the Tree of Life Bible that I love. I think it's a great version, but I think they miss a nuance here. This is not just praise. This is hodu with a sense of thanksgiving, right? Like we sing, hodu l'Adonai ki tov, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, right? So this is hodu. This is a give thanks, and some of your translations probably say thanks instead of praise there. It's probably a little better. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Bless his name. Did you know that you're a blessing to God? There's another life changer. This psalm is just full of life-changing wisdom. Did you know that you are a blessing to God? Think about the awe of that for a second. If you don't minimize who God is, if you remember that God is the creator of all, that God is the most powerful, the only omniscient, omnipresent, all-wise, all-knowing, all places at all times, holds the universe in his grasp, and he says, you bless me. You bless me. That makes me want to cry. God, how can I, in my humanity and with the things I've done, how can I bless you? But I do. I do. When I praise you and when I give thanks and when I serve my neighbor out of love, it blesses the heart of God. How awesome is that? God, I thank you that I bless you. I bless you. Let's go to the next slide. And here's the why. That key word, key, K-E-Y, that key word. And in the Hebrew, key, right? Often K-I. So the key word in two senses of the word, key, for Adonai is good. Why am I doing all this? What those imperatives, that entering in, that shouting, that dancing, that giving thanks, all these imperatives, do this, do that, do that. Why? Because Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. If you don't have the why there, it becomes a superficial religious experience. I'm going to serve just because God commanded it. I'm going to praise and give thanks just because God commands. Okay, sometimes we're there. Sometimes whether we feel like it or not, we do it. But fundamentally, our lives need to be determined the other way around. I do these other things because I know his goodness. Because I know his goodness. I had to learn this myself. In learning to tip waiters and waitresses, right? Well, it's a buffet. Do we really need to tip the full amount? They're only doing half the work. I got up and got my own food, right? That's not showing a trusting, thankful attitude, right? Well, they didn't do such a great job. Well, should I really take money from my account where I'm blessing my children and instead give it to this person that I don't even know their first name except from their name tag? That's a wrong attitude. Lord, give me a thankful, trusting heart because you are good. Then I can respond in goodness. Because you are good, I can be generous. Because you are good, I can shout for joy. Because you are good, I can give. Next slide. All right, so we do this. We shout joyfully, we serve, we come before his presence, we enter with thanks and praise, we give thanks, we bless God because of this, because, And these are all in that Psalm 100. Because he is God, creator, shepherd, good. His loving kindness is forever. His faithfulness through all generations. If you're having trouble with the left column, it's because you're having trouble with the right column. Okay? If you're having trouble shouting joyfully, it's because you're not interacting with the truth of he is God. If you're having trouble serving, it's because you forgot how he served you on the cross. If you're having trouble giving thanks, if you're having trouble with these things, the root of it's on the right side. The root of it is the because. You're not interacting enough with him as God, creator, shepherd, good, forever loving, full of loving kindness, forever faithful. Interact with those things, live those things, breathe those things in, and the left side will come out naturally. It really will. Next slide, please. Offerings for the tabernacle, Exodus 35, verses 4 and 5. Moses also said to all the congregation of the children of Israel, "This is the word which Adonai commanded, saying, take from among you an offering for Adonai. Whoever has a willing heart, let him bring Adonai's offering." Whoever has a willing heart. You don't have a willing heart, don't do it. If you don't have a willing heart, don't do it. You haven't interacted with deeply enough with the fact that God redeemed you from slavery in Egypt, that God took you as his own people, that God gave you his Torah, that God loves you, blesses you. If you haven't interacted with that deeply enough yet, you don't give. But for those who have interacted with that, you take up an offering from those who have willing hearts. Next slide. And what happens? They receive from Moses, as Exodus 36, starting at verse 3. They received from Moses the entire offering that the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to build it. They brought freewill offerings to him morning after morning. Then all the skilled men who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, one by one from the work he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the work of this construction that Adonai has commanded to be done." So Moses gave an order, and they proclaimed it throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing more. Oh, that we have that problem in the body of Messiah today. You bring too much. For the work material they had was sufficient for all the work with much left over. Do it out of a willing heart. They had willing hearts. They had more than enough. Go to the next slide. I'm going to tell you something that pastors fear. Okay? Pastors fear telling the congregation that really the command to tithe does not exactly apply to your local congregation. Not exactly. It's nowhere in the New Covenant. It's nowhere applied to anywhere but the temple. We fear saying that because some of you give because you think it's a commandment. And if we say it, you'll stop giving your 10%. That's not why we are to give. What does Paul say here? Let me go to the second part of this verse. Let each one give as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I have to surrender this. And I don't think I've ever said this before, because some of that fear was in there in me. Are people going to stop giving if I tell them that it's not commanded that you have to give 10% to your local congregation? That's not exact. It's towards the temple. And really, if you add up all the taxes and tithes and everything, it's way more than 10% for the temple. But I have to surrender that fear. And I have to say, what's more important to me is that you have a willing heart than that you put something in the box because God told you to. My command is not to fill up our bank account. God will take care of that. My job is to get me and you to the place where we have that willing heart to do it. Okay? If you're having trouble with the left side, you're having trouble with the do's, the commands, the giving thanks, the entering in, the service, you're having trouble with the left side, you need to interact more deeply with the right side, because God is good, because God takes care of me, because I am so grateful for God shepherding me. If I interact with these truths, then I'll do it. I'll do it, right? And April and I have made decisions to do this. We've made a decision to voluntarily cut my pay from the synagogue in half, just as a blessing to the synagogue, to the school. We're to the point now in the account where it kind of had to be done anyway, but before we knew that, we had made that decision, right? Give out of a joyful heart. But I don't have the joyful heart. Interact with the right side. Interact with who God is in your life. I don't want to push a broom across the floor. Interact with the right side. God loved me so much that he endured the pain of the cross. And here I am saying, I don't want to push a broom or wash a dish. It doesn't compute. Interact with the right side. I don't want to go out of my way to pray for somebody in the hospital. What did God do for you? Enter into the, not a guilt thing, oh, God did it for me, I owe it, but enter into the love of the truth of what God did for you, and then you will also serve out of love. You'll shout out of love. You'll give thanks out of love because you've received so much, and you have. You and I have received so, so, so much. Lord God, we love you, and we have received so much, Father God. You've taken care of our needs. We are alive today, but there's never been a day where we didn't have some kind of food put before us. Never been a day. We take that for granted. But the psalmist doesn't. The psalms talk about God feeds every living creature. Think about it. God's cafeteria is huge. He provides the sunlight and the plants and the animals. Every single day you've had food. Every single day he's watched over you. He rescued us from Egypt. He brought us out into the land. He kept us alive. He sustained us. He gave us the Messiah. He gave us of his own blood, taking on human flesh for us to redeem us. And the death of the cross, folks, is not some, in the first century, was not some proud martyr's death moment. It was absolutely a scornful, shameful way to die. Look at what Messiah did for me. That the amount of love involved in that is overwhelming. How can I then not interact with that and have it change my life and live a life of gratitude and do those acts of love? Lord God, my prayer this morning is that we would follow what Paul says and not do things out of compulsion. That we would do things out of a deep interacting with how much we have been loved, how much grace you have received. Remember all those things you did, God says they're gone. But don't forget that he forgave you. Don't be like that servant who was forgiven and then couldn't forgive the other servant. Remember, you were forgiven. Interact with that. You were forgiven. It's gone. Let it change your life. Remember that time you almost died and he saved your life, or your loved one almost died and he saved their life. Remember that time you didn't know how you were going to feed your family and he fed your family. Remember all those things he did for you out of love, just out of love, out of being completely and madly in love with you. And then you interact with that and say, Lord, it will change my life. I will be better with my giving, not because I'm compulsed to, But I will be better with my giving because it's a sign of my gratitude. I will be better with my praying for others. I will be better at helping others when I see them in need. I will not consider myself above any task. I will not. I, as the rabbi of this congregation, have scrubbed toilets before, or at least once I have. There's no task that I'm above. I do it out of love for you guys, because I love you. I love you. And I just want us to be totally immersed in the love of Messiah.
Amen. Amen.